Well, good morning, everyone. I hope everyone is having a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles. And as has been mentioned already, it is Youth Day, and one of the things I've been very impressed with at the feast is seeing how many teenagers are out helping out at the family day activities. There's so many servants, several in the parking area, and I've just seen everywhere children helping, no matter what their age. And it's nice to see that wonderful service from them as well. My daughters are going to have the privilege of singing to God in the special music this morning. And last year I asked my oldest daughter, I told her before I got up to speak, I said, I'm kind of nervous. And last year she said, I would be too. Well, this morning I decided to see what my middle daughter would say. So I asked my middle daughter, I said, well, I'm a little nervous. And she says, I'm not. So much comfort. Well, as we all know, the feast is an exciting time, a wonderful time where we hear uplifting messages, picturing the millennial rule of Jesus Christ, that wonderful future we long for. We hear about God's standards, what that will be like in the kingdom. Again, reminded of that standard in the kingdom. Also, as a reminder, that standard is the same standard that we should have in God's church now. Satan likes to distort God's standard, to distort the truth of God, and make it look, well, you don't really have to follow it completely. But as we look at God's standard, it is the same standard we live by now, is the same one we look forward to in God's kingdom and in that millennial reign of Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, we see Satan has deceived the whole world. He has a counterfeit. He loves to have that counterfeit out there to deceive the entire world. So we look at that counterfeit. How do we counter that counterfeit? An interesting fact about counterfeits, when the FBI trains staff members to identify and find counterfeit bills, currencies, they are not required to study and find the fake bills. Instead, they go through a rigorous test, rigorous study of looking at the real currency, studying it every little bit, what the corners look like, every area, because there's little things here and there in all types of the currencies, so they know what is the genuine currency. So we look in our lives. Are we comparing our life to God's truth? Are we looking to God's standard? Or, as it is sometimes easy to do, are we comparing ourselves to the counterfeit, the world? This morning, I want to remind us of the standard we are to be comparing our lives to now. The title of my split sermon this morning is God's Standard. Is it ours too? Would you turn over to Romans 12, verse 2? Romans 12 and verse 2. We are reminded of this coming out that we are to be having now in our lives. Romans 12, verse 1 reminds us that we are to be living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. This word conformed means to fashion alike, to conform to the same pattern outwardly. To look at the world in pattern and look like the world. Sometimes we can have people that will come to church and they look like Christians. They'll come to church, but the rest of the 6 days of the week, they look exactly like the world. Do we do that in our lives? Do we just put on a good front that one day of the week, but the other six, we fit perfectly in with the world? But we are reminded not to conform to the world. Continuing in verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, reminding us, don't get fooled by the counterfeit. make sure we're comparing our lives to God's standard. An expanded rendering might read this way in verse 2. Stop being molded by the external and fleeting fashions of this age, but undergo a deep inner change. Again, reminding us of that counterfeit. But so often we can compare ourselves with the world. It's easy. It makes you feel good, too, when you think about it. You think, well, I'm not as bad as the world. I must be doing okay. Again, it's similar to the FBI agents. Well, you know, it's really close to the real currency. It's not that bad. Well, it's still the false currency. Again, we were looking to God's standard in our lives. As we look at this analogy, I have a bit of a prop for those who may not be able to see it. Just two rulers. So we look at the standards of the world. We see the standards of the world and we can compare our lives to that. This can be our life. We can think, well, you know, I'm not as bad as the world. I'm a little bit better. Oh, maybe even a lot better. I'm better than the world. If we're not careful, we can compare ourselves to that counterfeit. But as we think of a graph, as this picture line, it isn't straight. So we look at God's standard, the world is going continually away from God's way. And if we're comparing ourselves with the world, we're going in the same direction. So it's a good reminder to keep ourselves always reminded to compare ourselves to God's standard. To always think of God's standard in our life. Because it is very easy sometimes to look at the world and think, well, you know, the way I dress is not as bad as those in the world. You know, for the ladies, well, you know, my dress isn't as short as people that wear them in the world, or I'm not as immodest as those in the world. We can look at other standards. My church attendance, oh, most people in the world, they go Christmas, Easter, just a few times in the year. Well, I go at least once a month. Again, if we look at that standard, we look at God's standard, not the world's. We could look at many other examples. Parenting, how we discipline our children. Well, I don't want to discipline them as much as the world or as little as the world does. But again, we look to God's standard. In our marriage relationships, our roles in the marriage, again, we look to God's standard, not the world's. Turn over to 2 Timothy 3. We're reminded of this standard. 2 Timothy 3. We see Paul instructing Timothy, showing him the standard that he should have in his life. 2 Timothy, beginning in verse 12, Paul reminds him of that standard that he is to have and that we all are to have in God's church. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There will be trials. There will be things that we go through. We saw a wonderful video showing us the example of people who are persevering, just as we have those here in the congregation, going through health difficulties, tremendous problems and difficulties in life. But again, we see what we are to look to. And even reminded in verse 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we look at this, the counterfeits will get better and better. It's not monopoly money. We don't, oh, well, that's monopoly money. I know it. That's not even close to the real thing. But we see Satan's counterfeit gets better and better. It keeps looking more and more like the real thing. But we see it will increase. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. There will be more and more deceptions as the end time draws closer. Hopefully it's something we think about, constantly thinking about the standard that God wants in our lives. Continuing in verse 14, After this, reminding him of these deceptions that will get worse and worse. But as for you, continue in the thing which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood, something that he learned as a kid, that he grew and continued to remember as a child, that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Again, going back to the standard, he continues to remind of that standard in verse 16. All scripture, again, it doesn't, well, some, most, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This Greek word literally means God breathed, his breath. What he has for us to learn from. It is God's word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Again, we are reminded of that standard, God's word. But most of us have sitting in our laps, looking to God's standard in our lives, and not the counterfeit of the world. We can often be reminded of the deceits that will come, that have come, seeing the counterfeits that have been tried to be passed off, always thinking and going back to God's standard. One of the things I used to love about Mr. Armstrong was his commitment to God's word. One of his catchphrases that they mentioned in the video, one that I will always remember, is "Don't believe me. Blow off your Bibles and look it up yourself. Study your Bible. Don't believe me." It was a fact that Mr. Armstrong always went back to, pointing to God's standard. He didn't point to himself. He pointed to God's standard, a standard we're all to continue to look to. But we see Timothy here told continually that during the tough and trying times in his life, to always make sure you go back to the standard of God. Never think, well, I think I know what it means. Let me read it again. Let me look at it. Let me see what God's word really says. But we see those times of counterfeit, those trying times, to always go back to study God's word and be reminded by it. But we must know why we do it. Again, we're reminded of that fact here at the feast, that standard we long for and look forward to. If you turn over to Ezra 7, Ezra went through this. Ezra and Nehemiah are two books I love to look through and read through to be reminded of tough and trying times, but also to see the examples of Ezra and Nehemiah and so many others throughout these two books of their standing up for God's way, no matter what. No matter what. Ezra 7, even as we look through the premise of Ezra, coming through, they're coming out of the end of the Babylonian captivity, being held captive by another nation. The Israelites are scattered all over. Jerusalem is in shambles. The walls destroyed, the temples destroyed. The things are not there the way they remembered them. It was heartbreaking to come back to a city that was no longer the city they remembered. And they went through tough and trying times. Talked about restoring worship in Jerusalem, trying to restore the temple, trying to rebuild it. People coming up and, oh, you can't do this. We believe in God too, and we want to help you. But they didn't. They continually tried to discourage God's people. They continue to try to stop them from rebuilding what God had told them to rebuild. But they kept at it. Even for several years, they had to stop the rebuilding of the temple. But eventually, it would restart again. And we see Ezra now coming into Jerusalem, and his attitude that he had. See here in Ezra 7, beginning in verse 8. We see, "And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in which was in the seventh year of the king. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. Again, remembering it was God who brought him back. But we see Ezra's focus in verse 10. Again, Ezra, a priest of God. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Even during this captivity, Ezra wasn't, well, you know, Jerusalem's destroyed. I'll just wait until I can come back and then I'll start studying God's word again. No, it was something he had prepared his heart for. Knowing that eventually, he hoped in his lifetime, God would restore Jerusalem again. And he would be able to come back and be ready for that time. As we see these three principles that he went through, he prepared his heart to seek the law. He sought it, studied it, thinking about it. It was something that was a part of his life. He wanted to know more about God's law, so he studied it. And he studied and learned from it at that point. Continual process he went through. We also see it's not just studying it, but he also implemented it into his life. We see the second point, he sought it. The second one is he did it. So it was something he was thinking about. How do I implement it into my life? It's not just enough to read God's word, but when he went through it, wow. How am I doing that in my life? Making sure he was implementing it, following it in his life. And also we see this third one that it led to was teaching it, being ready to teach it. Again, as we look at that millennial reign, ruling with Jesus Christ, serving others in the kingdom. Again, thinking, am I ready to teach it? Do I know it enough that I can explain it? And go through it. We see Ezra went through these things as he was coming back into Jerusalem, making sure that he was seeking it, doing it, and ready to teach it. And he did teach it. We won't turn there. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 reminds us that we are always to be ready to teach it. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 reminds us, always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Again, someone, well, why are you going to the feast? It's not an attitude, well, I know more than you. No. Well, again, we direct them to God's standard. We know, well, I've searched it out and I've figured out why I should be there. No, God's word says it. So many people are surprised if when they ask, really? The feast is in the Bible? Yes, it is. Explaining it, being able to explain it with meekness and fear, knowing that it wasn't our knowledge that brought us to this, but God who called us, worked with us in our life. But we are reminded of these three principles in Ezra, that we are to be seeking God's standard, to be doing it, and to be teaching it. If you turn over to Deuteronomy 6, another area we will look at in this teaching. So many times we can think, well, I'll never be up behind a podium. I'll never be able to really teach. Well, as we look at the parents that are here, we are to be teaching it to our children. We are to be showing God's standard. Deuteronomy 6. Again, in Deuteronomy 5, it goes through the Ten Commandments being reviewed again, being given. We see this emphasis here in chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, goes through some of the same principles that Ezra went through. We see that we are to be seeking it and doing it. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." To put something in your heart isn't, well, I'll just read it, and yep, now I believe it. No, it's a matter of seeking it, studying it, and doing it. Seeing that it really works in your life. seeing that the blessings are there for following God's way of life. But also we see it also leads to teaching it. As families, as we look at our children, that it isn't, well, I'll get them to Sabbath school and the church will teach them. No, the church can help. The church can help teach your children. But ultimately it falls on us as parents to be teaching our children. Verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And where does it lead? In verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. We see this diligence that we are to have in teaching our children. It's not, well, we'll let the church do it. The church is there to help. But as parents, we are to be teaching it diligently. Again, it's not, well, I'll just have them recite it every time we go out the door. Let's riddle through the Ten Commandments. No, it's not talking about that. It's talking about implementing into their lives, teaching them, showing them. You go out and see things that go on in the world, you can explain, hey, is this how God would do it? Is this following God's command? It is a time where we can take that time and diligently take time with our children. Even as we see these four areas in verse 7, to sit in your house, to walk by the way, to lie down as you rise up. It should be a part of us. Everything we do. Do we make mistakes? Yes. And hopefully, when we make mistakes, we tell our kids. I've had to go do that before, many times. You go, it's humbling. Here you're the parent. You're supposed to know everything. I wish. But I've had to sit down with my girls and say, Dad didn't make the right decision here. I should have done this, and I did the wrong thing. I'm sorry, but I'm learning. But this is what we have to do. This is God's standard. And to make sure we are showing them, we do make mistakes too. It doesn't mean, well, I'm the dad, tough. You have to do what I say. No, we are following God's laws. And when we make mistakes, we let them know. So they realize when they make mistakes, they have their mom and dad's example to say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm overcoming as well. But we see this word here, this phrase, teach them diligently. This phrase actually means to sharpen, to teach incisively, something we take very seriously. One translation puts it, rub them in through repetition. Now again, it's not, well, let's read through the Ten Commandments over and over. No, every time we go out, no matter where we go today, when you see something that maybe isn't right or is right, you think, wow, they're doing it right. To teach them, to show them by that example. This verse in verse 7, the idea here is just as words are cut into a stone tablet with a sharp chisel or a sharp object, so the law should be impressed on the hearts of the children of every generation. The Amplified Version has a wonderful version of this, verse 7. You shall whet, as you whet a stone, you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children. Also the Message, a loose paraphrase, but in this instance, very accurate. Verses 6 and 7, it translates it this way. Write these commandments that I have given to you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you and get them inside of your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning until you fall into bed at night. Again, it's reminding us, it's our life. There's never a time where, our kid lies. Well, today we don't have to worry about that. No, we correct it. When we see someone else lie, I've gone through this example before. I had a kid who lied in high school continually. And where did it lead him? Well, they ended up seeing him later on. No one wanted to be around him because he always lied. They see the fruits of God's laws being broken. And it's an opportunity for us to teach and say, they're not living by God's laws. Here are their fruits. It's sad to see. But it reminds us we don't want to live that way. We want to live by God's standards, not our own. But as parents, we are to be living it. Again, our children can see if we just put on a front when we come to church, but boy, when we get home, it's a totally different mom and dad. Our kids see it. So it's something we are to be living ourselves, making sure that we are implementing it in our hearts, studying it, admitting when we make a mistake and tell our kids, Dad, Mom, we made a mistake. We're trying to overcome as well. But also to our youth. It can remind us to make sure we're listening to our parents. One of the standards of the world is parents know nothing. You watch TV, entertainment today, kids know everything. And parents, you don't need to listen to them. But God's way is the exact opposite. Your parents are helping, trying to help you learn God's way. When they instruct, it's not, oh, do I have to hear this again? Yeah, because it's going to help you learn God's way of life. To remember the right standard, not the world's standard. Sometimes we can take it for granted, growing up in the church. I had the wonderful opportunity to be blessed to grow up in the church my entire life. And sometimes, well, you know, they just grew up in the church all their life. They don't really know what it's like. Yes, and I'm very thankful for that. I went through one couple helping to go through a baptismal counseling. And one of the things they mentioned, I talked about some of the kids in the church that have been there their entire life, that I've grown up in the church my entire life. And they just were just aghast to think about how wonderful that was. One of the ladies said, I know I'm not supposed to covet, but I wish that I had God's ways my entire life. She sees the benefit, the disadvantages of not having God's way her whole life. And it was something she said, oh, what a blessing. If I could have had it from being a kid all the way through, I wouldn't have made all these mistakes and have to go through all the penalties for them. It is a tremendous blessing to grow up in the church. And hopefully as we are teaching our children God's standard in our lives, showing them in our example as well. We won't turn over there, but Micah 2 verse 4 was mentioned a few times during the feast already. Again, reminding us that standard in the future we look forward to. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Again, that eagerness to learn God's standard. That's what the world is missing. They have the counterfeit. Again, we look at God's standard in the future, the same standard we are to have now in our lives, the same standard we are blessed to live by. But also in Micah 4, verse 4, as it drops down, but everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree. You know, sometimes we can just read through, oh yeah, it's just their vine and their fig tree. But to think as a family, to have your own patch of ground, to have your own area to grow things, and as a family to sit under the vine tree, to talk about God's law, to think about it, to go through it. Again, the blessings. We look in this world and so many times the father has to go on a long trip to get to work. And he gets back, sees his kids for a few hours, if he's lucky, before they go to bed. Satan loves that. Again, sometimes it's something we have to do to live in this society. But to remember that every opportunity we get to teach our children, to have that time with them. Turn over to Hosea 4, verse 6. Hosea 4 reminds us, is it really that important? Because we see when it's not taken seriously, to learn God's way, to implement it in our lives, and to teach it to our children. Hosea 4, verse 6. God talking to the Israelites, his charge against them for what they have done. And we see how serious it is when God's standard isn't looked to. Hosea 4 in verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. Again, not, well, they didn't learn all the things in the world. No, godly knowledge. They didn't want God's knowledge. They rejected it. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. You think, wow, well, that's serious. Do I want God to forget my children? No. It's the same response all the parents here would think in your lives. It's showing that I need to make sure that I am studying and putting it in my heart so I can help put it in my children's heart. It's something that's serious that if I don't, God will forget them. Why? Oh, he just doesn't like children. No. He will forget the children because they're not being taught. If I am not teaching my children and I'm living ungodly, my children are going to learn that and be ungodly too. They aren't being taught God's ways. So as we look at these scriptures and review them, it reminds us how important it is that we have to learn and make sure we're seeking God's standard. We're looking to God in our lives. And as we look at that example, we're not comparing ourselves to the world. Because you can feel good. Oh, I am so far above the world. But if we're still comparing ourselves to the world, no matter how far or close it is, when you look at the picture of how far God is and how the world is going down, we're going down with that standard as well. But again, we are reminded of God's standard. And at this Feast of Tabernacles, the wonderful millennial rule, where God's standard will be taught from the mountaintops. People will long for it. They'll go up to the mountain to learn God's way, his standard in their lives. Just as the FBI study the genuine currency to know the counterfeit. They don't go to the counterfeits and study the counterfeits. They study the genuine bills. Just as that is, we need to continue to study and compare our lives to the genuine word of God. As Ezra did in his life, he sought it, he did it, and he taught it. It's something we can always remind ourselves. Are we seeking God's ways? Are we doing it, implementing it in our lives? And are we teaching it? Are we passing it on? Even if we don't have kids, someone can ask, well, why do you believe this? That we are thinking about, why do I believe this? Are we studying it with our whole heart? Just as we don't look to the world's standards, the counterfeit, we are reminded we look to God's standards. God's standard should always be our standard.